Technori teams have been announced this month for the Wearable Works Technori Showcase held at Chase Auditorium. We're going to be having featuring Rythmio, Nuzzle, PinkThink, Geobit, and our guest today, Embodied Labs. This is a very cool company. The reason that they're going to be featured on Technori is for what they're doing, which is pretty unbelievable. They're essentially giving doctors the ability to experience the not just the symptoms, but also the overall medical experience of the patient, which is something that I think is going to be really valuable, given the fact that most patients do not give high reviews of the experience of dealing with doctors. I would be one of those people. I'm Scott Catoon, and this is Technori Live. Welcome to the show, Carrie Shaw.
Thanks for having me, Scott.
Of course. Thank you for not only coming in now, this is short notice, but also thank you for participating in this month's Technori Showcase. I know I'm really excited to have you on stage.
Yeah, our team is really excited to be awesome. There. Thanks.
So why don't you, I think once at Technori, people are going to really be able to get into the mission of like what you guys are trying to do and what it mm-hmm. is. I'm really interested in your journey as an entrepreneur, your experience as a female entrepreneur currently in the Chicago landscape. And just in, obviously, we'll discuss, you know, what Embodied Labs is. So why don't we kind of get your background? Who are you and what are you doing here?
Sure. So the idea for the patient's perspective came to me in my experience caring for my mother, who was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's disease when I was 19. So in this decade of time of caring for her, I've constantly, as her brain has changed, had to reimagine what her experience is like. And by doing that, I really can provide for her what she needs. And so early on in caring for her, I wondered, what if doctors could experience any condition that their patient is going through, and how would that make them better care providers? But I've had quite a winding path to get where I am now. I studied public health in my undergraduate at University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And I was really passionate about global public health. And I actually joined the Peace Corps following college to go and teach health education, learn another language. I was in the Dominican Republic working with youth and teaching reproductive health. And that really opened up my eyes to the importance of empathy and crossing cultural boundaries and really being able to look inside somebody else's world to understand how to connect with them. And then that brought me back to being really interested in visualizing health. So I've always been a huge nerd. I love science, but I also really love art. And I discovered that there is actually something called medical illustration out there that you can study. So when I heard about that, I was like, perfect. I've been waiting for this moment. This is what I'm studying. And I took a few years to get ready to go back to grad school. And then once I got there, I was still just ready to study this question of how do you visualize something from the patient's first person perspective.
That is a complicated vision. I just don't think people would ever, I mean, I'm trying to visualize what your experience was.
Yeah.
I can't imagine ever thinking of it in that terms. Like, I think most people talking about the experience you had with your mother,
mm-hmm.
I think most people either get resentful or they just think like, oh, you know, I can't imagine. That's what they mm-hmm. would say. And you actually stopped for a second and was like, no, I can imagine. And I want to figure out. And then through that, you were able to find out there's an entire business that can be built around this.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, my mom always was very, you know, she emphasized being creative, education, reading. So I grew up around her really wanting me to explore and be curious. And I think when you say, you said it's a really hard experience, and it has been, but this company's really just provided this great outlet to say, even when something really sucks, you can still grow from it and beautiful things can happen.
I would say this is a perfect example of that. One question. So how long has Embodied Labs actually been sort of in operation?
We're a team of four. We met about a year ago, and we've been working on the product that we've have in beta right now. Yep. Since last July. And then we've formed as a company in May. So we're very young in terms of where we are in the company, close friends and family funding, and are now looking for early stage investment to continue.
Very cool. So I guess since we've sort of talked about what is the general, I mean, obviously we know what you're trying to accomplish. What is the the process of working with Embodied Labs like? Is it a doctor that reaches out to you, or is it a patient? Is it either or both?
Mm-hmm. So we're starting out by concentrating on geriatric education. Yep. So what is the experience of aging is our first focus. And we chose that because in working with the University of Illinois Chicago's medical school, they said, Carrie, we just want to be able to emphasize that geriatric education is important. It's especially important now because the baby boomers are entering this aging population, and we're not seeing enough students go into these careers. And so in a partnership with them, we developed this first product that really addresses what it's like to be a 74-year-old man experiencing the most common visual disability of macular degeneration and hearing disability of high-frequency hearing loss. And then by sort of giving the students this opportunity, they can actually understand what it's like to be 60 years older than they actually are.
This space fascinates the hell out of me. I have to tell you, so like, when this is, I'm not going to ask how old you are, but when I was in high school, we went through, driver's ed training or whatever. And in that time frame, basically they would put these stupid goggles on and say like, so this is what it's like to be an impaired driver. Yeah. And in my mind, I remember then thinking like, and I wasn't obviously didn't, you know, this is 15 years ago or whatever. I was not thinking in my head like, oh, the future is, you know, virtual reality and things. But in my mind, I just remember thinking there's got to be a better way to do this. And then when you go through the driving simulation at that time, they had like the stupid screens around the window so you can kind of visualize. And I always thought like in my head, I actually thought then, why would they not blur the screens then so you can sort of experience like this is what it's like to be an impaired driver? Not because, you know, anyone could look at their hand and be like, oh, you know, obviously I have bad eyes. Obviously, yeah. I can't see.
Yeah.
That doesn't really give me an impact. But putting me in the driver's seat,
mm-hmm.
and be like, wow. That's super dangerous.
Yeah.
Like now I get it. There's people walking by that did not look like a person, that didn't look like, that sort of thing is so fascinating to me. And so now to see that you're able to do this in a way where, you know, doctors who are kind of historically, I mean, almost trained, right, to sort of isolate themselves emotionally from the situation, and it enables you to put them in a position where they can be empathetic.
Right.
And that, you know, and in that, like you did with yourself and your mother, you can start to kind of determine and judge exactly why this person might be acting the way they are, exactly why this person's in the kind of pain that they are. You'll better understand why they're acting and telling you things that they are. This is really fascinating. I can't wait to not only learn more and see you guys present on our stage. I think it's going to be fantastic. But it's just overall, you've done a great job. This is cool.
Yeah, thank you. We're really excited about how this can be used by not just a medical student who's in their first or second year of training, but also residents who are now in there seeing patients, and then go beyond that and
think
about...
There's a huge application for this.
Right, like physician burnout. It's scientifically
nurses,
shown.
Prepping nurses when they go through training, right. And learning about, you know, the experience of the I can't remember, it's whitewash, whatever they call it in the ER.
Mm-hmm.
When things get sort of totally over flipped on its top,
mm-hmm.
training nurses to go from just a normal nurse to an emergency room nurse to be able to handle like just
stress.
Everything to a haywire and the stress. This is like, to me, this would be an amazing tool for that.
Yeah. And then also I think a lot of people, young people especially, are afraid to pursue aging careers because they don't really understand what it's like to age. And I think a lot of what trainings have emphasized in the past for aging is kind of what you were saying with the drunk goggles. So they say, well, when you're elderly, it's like you can't see and you can't hear and everything's really hard. And I think that sometimes pushes students away, but through this kind of medium, you can really tell somebody's story and immerse that person in their story and say, aging is beautiful. It does have these pathologies associated with it, but it's so much more than that. And as a doctor, you could go into this profession that's just like solving a puzzle that's really interesting and has its own unique challenges.
I think this is a tool that eliminates or could eliminate the ability to be dismissive both of the people, but also of the impact you can have on the people. That's
right.
Sort of how I view this. It's something where it's very easy for me to say like, well, yeah, obviously your pain, your joints hurt. My joints hurt now. Obviously, you know, you can't see well, I can barely see now. So like, that's easy for me to just sort of, I can't help you.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's, I just don't understand. To put that in the perspective of say a grandmother who's trying to, you know, whatever, walk to church or do whatever she's trying to do. Like you, all of a sudden there's a reason behind why you need to make sure that you can help solve that problem for her,
mm-hmm.
because it's a quality of life issue. It's not about ignoring and solving maybe what might be at this point an unsolvable problem. It's about creating a better life.
Yeah, I think what you're getting at is the difference between sympathizing with someone and empathizing.
Yeah, I would agree.
So sympathizing, you can feel sorry for them. But once you've had this experience that you can share with that person, then you can say, hey, I stepped into your world for a second. I empathize with you. I can understand.
I think you should have your own show.
Thanks, Scott.
You did a great job of that. So lastly, I didn't want to make this like kind of the focal point of this, but you are a young female entrepreneur.
I am.
And it's been, you know, it's not the easiest position for anyone as an entrepreneur to get funding and to get your company off the ground. You have to do lots of things right, and most people don't. And, you know, you learn from failure, but at the end of the day, it is your one shot to get this right. What have you noticed as a female entrepreneur compared to maybe some of your, you know, peers that are male or just in general? What has been your experience?
It's been really interesting. The one thing that pops into my mind is how I communicate with my team and being surrounded by a lot of men in tech. There's these differences of detail and what I want to explain and focus on versus what maybe my teammates want to talk about. And that really just makes us a stronger team because we can really collaborate and say, okay, what's your skill set as a programmer, as a virtual reality film director? What's my skill set? What do I bring to the table as someone who has been a caregiver, who has had my past? And I mean, it's really hard for me to pin down, well, this is because I'm a female that I've experienced you know, these differences in a tech space. But I guess I just continue to say having females and men present, it just creates a diverse space, and diversity in and of itself brings strength to a company.
I would agree with you 100%. And sort of to paraphrase what our last keynote, Coco Mears of Pretty Quick said at the last Technori event, was essentially that, you know, at a certain point, once everything is, you know, you're full force forward trying to start this company, it's not about boy or girl. It's about just execution and about making the right decisions and making informed decisions. And ultimately, if you're a man or a woman, minority or not, if you can bring the best package with the best work ethic and the best overall execution of that package to the table, you're going to be in pretty good shape.
Yeah. I was had an event last week that I walked into and was the only female, and the average age was probably around 50. And immediately when I walked in, I was like, wow, I haven't felt like a minority like this since I was the only American person in my community in the Peace Corps. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of similarities to draw there. And then it just made me think about what other people's experiences are that are always the minority in the room. And I just think there's always something to learn, and it doesn't mean that someone can't do something. It's just another way they can contribute something different.
Well, you won't experience that at Technori, thanks to our collaboration with Women Tech Founders. We have a lot of females. We're working on some other partnerships so we can, you know, make sure that we have a diverse crowd. But I can tell you one thing as we close out here, that if I ever have any questions or need somebody from an empathy mapping standpoint, you will be the first person I'm going to call.
Great. Because
you literally have empathy down to a T. It is quite impressive.
Awesome.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you. It will be August 30th, Tuesday night, 6 to 8 p.m. at Chase Auditorium. Where do people get in touch and find out more about Embodied Labs?
Our Twitter handle is @EmbodiedLabs. You can email us info@embodiedlabs.com or look us up on Facebook.
Thank you, Carrie, so much.
Yep.
You can stream this episode and more on WGNBusiness.com or download each episode on iTunes. And don't forget to stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter @Technori, or follow me @Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.